The truth.
Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the yellow brick road of free speech because, you know, you start out and it seems all fun and you got all the munchkins and they're singing and dancing and clapping their hands and everything's in color. But then you walk on a little ways and it starts getting dark and then the trees start throwing apples at you. And that's not fun. But what you need to do to keep those flying monkeys away is you need to go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage, and maybe a broom for the Wicked Witch. Who knows? So please do that. Anyway, today is Wednesday. This is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. And I had to interrupt you, Jeremy, on what you were saying. Oh, before you get into it, I will have you, if you have the address for badly needed fundage, you could tell them where to send that, and then you could we could continue with what we were talking about on your show.
They can mail that check or money order payable to RBN, mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in your debit or credit card number to the engineer, and you can also donate on PayPal to keep free speech alive, because free speech ain't free.
Yeah. No, it's not. And, you know, one other thing about the Yellow Brick Road is you got your dog with you.
Toto.
Right? Toto. Totally Toto. Okay, so what were you talking about right as I interrupted you at the end of your show?
Governor Abbott thinking that he's owning the libs and fooling conservatives by sending these migrants, you know, from Mexico and South America up into the capital and up into the liberal northeastern states. But really they're getting there, or they're taking stops on the way, and they're getting free stuff on our tax dollars. This was from a Daily Stormer post. I want to go ahead and quote a New York Post article that Stormer quoted. Hundreds of migrants, at least some bust to the Big Apple by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, lined up outside the Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx on Sunday to get health care coverage, food, and other items, including school supplies and free phones. School supplies, they're going to put them into school in the areas that they landed at. Boy, Abbott's really owning the libs, is he not? Is he not?
You know what it reminds me of? Yeah. I was going to say, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
The, have you ever saw Monty Python? Do you remember the skit about the Spanish Inquisition? Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. So, well, for those who remember it, the Spanish Inquisition, they barge into some, like, British grandma's apartment. So she's just some, you know, middle-class British grandma. She's got a pretty hot granddaughter with her, by the way, or daughter or whatever. But at any rate, they're trying to get the old lady to confess. Okay, if you won't confess, we will make you sit in the comfy chair. And she sits in a comfortable chair, and she's just all comfortable. And they're saying, confess, confess. Well, this is what they're doing to the migrants, okay? Migrants,
yeah.
Migrants. We don't want migrants coming here. We will send you to stay in a $700 a night hotel in New York. Ha! Ha! Now what do you do?
Now what?
Nobody expects the Abbott Inquisition.
Libs owned.
Or maybe the Abbott Transportation. Nobody expects the Abbott Transportation.
The event organized by the city hospital system was billed as, get this, was billed as a resource and family fun day for the migrants and their children, many of whom have come to New York in droves in recent weeks. According to Adrian Medina, 32 years old, she said through a translator, "I came to New York about 3 days ago. I'm a welder and I'm looking for work here." She's from Venezuela. So Abbott thinks that he's owning the libs by sending all of these migrants up into the eastern part of America, and we're going to let the libs deal with them. Well, the libs are dealing with them, and they're getting free everything on your tax dollar. And then where are they going to go? They're going to stay there. They're going to be, you know, bust out into other parts of rural America.
Uh-huh.
So really what needs to happen is these immigrants need to be bused south to the Mexican border. Put them off the bus and say, best of luck to you.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Okay, so you've got Muriel Bowser or whatever the fat black lady is who runs Washington, D.C., right? Okay, so she's a little bit perplexed, right? She's a little bit inconvenienced. So, okay, maybe they're owning Muriel Bowser a little bit. But you know who they're not owning? Is the illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
How is this discouraging the illegal immigrants?
They'll just keep coming into Texas and be like, all right, Greg, bus us to the Northeast.
They're not being owned. Yeah. I mean, it's like Sean Hannity owning the libs by endorsing a tranny for governor of California.
Bruce Jenner, how are you going to handle immigration in California? What are your policies going to be? When the real question is, Bruce, guy, you were an athlete and a hero. You're on Wheaties boxes, for God's sake. Why are you wearing a dress, you faggot? That should be the question, rather than, Caitlin, what is your policies on this, that, or the other? The conservatives are just disgusting, and they're not conserving anything. They're not even conserving little boys' and little girls' genitals. They're totally allowing this trannyism after fourth grade, and there is no political answer in the conservative party, period.
You know, I don't like tattoos, all right? And I guess probably a lot of the audience has tattoos, whatever. I don't like tattoos. And sometimes I've thought, well, you know, if you had, allowed fourth graders to get tattoos, they'd get tattoos of Pokemon or, you know, or Powerpuff Girls or whatever. Maybe they'd be embarrassed, later on in life. I don't care if you're fourth grade or fifth grade or sixth grade or if you're a 12th grade or whatever. In fact, I don't even think tattoos should be legal, honestly. I mean, I don't, for whatever reason. And I damn don't think that, that genital mutilation should be legal. I don't think it should be legal for adults. You know, if you want to mutilate your own genitals, I think you've already demonstrated that you're not mentally competent. So, I mean, that's just me. You know, the tattoo stuff, that'll probably rub some people the wrong way, but I'm not for mutilation.
They're
and
not
whatever.
They're not calling for public funding of tattoos, but they are calling for public funding of trannyism. And so that's the worst of the two.
Here's something else. This is a thought I had. So, you know, sometimes you hear of, you know, outlandish conspiracy theories, right? Let's just say flat Earth. And I'm not here to offend anybody, but whatever. At least with flat Earth, in our own daily experience, the Earth is flat in our daily experience. Unless you're, you know, if you're really like thinking about it and you look at the shape of the shadow on the moon during an eclipse, which how many lunar eclipses do you see in your life?
I mean,
let's face it, all of us, when we were little kids, at some point found out that the Earth was round, and they said, really? And so it's not immediately obvious. But all little kids know the difference between mommy and daddy. They know the difference between boys and girls. Animals know the difference. And so this whole business about trannyism and that you can change your gender and everything, this is so much weirder and more outlandish than Flat Earth is. But do we have to believe the science? What is it?
Yes, I mean, coming to the conclusion that a boy or girl is a certain gender has no comparison to people with their heliocentric views of the universe. And I think I see your point. These conservatives just acquiesce. And, you know, what are they conserving? They're conserving the views of the left wing 5 to 10 years ago. You know, this trannyism started in 2015 under the Obama administration. And so conservatives are defaulting back to that. Rather than saying the whole thing is ludicrous, right? I think that's maybe your point.
Well, that's an accurate point, but my point is that, and I don't mean to pick on Flat Earth in particular, but no matter what theory you want to talk about, you know, chemtrails or anything else you want to name, is there anything as implausible as, you know, men can just be women or women can be men? You can just change, flip back and forth. Is there anything that obviously not true? I mean, we know that men are men and women are women, and castrating yourself. I mean, people have been castrated. You've had eunuchs, for instance, but nobody ever said eunuchs were girls.
Yeah, I mean, you have scientifically, you have X and Y chromosomes, right? Either you have an X and a Y or two X's, period. End of discussion. That's the science. Even in biblical days, I mean, there were eunuchs that weren't allowed to go into the temple to worship in the Old Testament. But nowhere, anywhere did the Bible or any civilization of that time claim that these men who were castrated, were women. Mm-hmm. You know, they were men. And because of their castration, they could not attend worship in the temple. It's Old Testament law. So, you know, even going back in, you know, ancient history, none of this has ever been done. Homosexual marriage, I mean, never been done. You look at the Greek society, the Greeks who were pagans, very advanced intellectually, but pagans nonetheless, you know, they allowed pedestry. Look at
it is not gay marriage, it's something different. Nothing there was a period, but different.
Pedestry, I mean, there was a period, you know, gymnasium, gym means naked, I think. And so they would witness, like, young boys and men performing sports rituals in the nude. And young men were allowed to choose a young boy to be, like, a mentor. And there were some pederastic things going on there. But that was never, like, the Greek society never sanctioned gay marriage. Like, there was a point where that young man would be like, okay, there's a point where you need to, like, quit this crap and marry a woman and have children for the betterment of the state. So even though homosexuality was tolerated on a very fringe level, it was not fully accepted. And that's where we're at in America, where it's fully accepted, not only homosexual marriage that happened in 2015, but, you know, transgenderism, just saying that boys can be girls and girls boys. This is unprecedented, and there's no way that this society can function and maintain itself. It's unsustainable.
Yeah, and, you know, you have had very, very minor amount of transgenderism. I guess you had some in Weimar Germany, and I remember Dr. Rene Richards, a tennis player whose real name was like Richard Gajewski Steinowitz or something like that. Some Jewish doctor who was a tennis player and wanted to compete in the women's tournament so that he would have a better chance. So, I mean, you had that. That was the 1970s. And actually, if you listen to my show with Mark Collett today, the Switched on Bach, the organist there had mutilated his own organs, so to speak. That was Carlos, what was the name? Walter Carlos, who became Wendy Carlos. So, I mean, in a way, it's been a thing for half a century or a century, but it was never pushed. It was just always like a weird thing, and nobody, hardly anybody knew about it. I mean, they had the Rene Richards thing. That went on for, I mean, that got a little bit of press, but it wasn't, this is a full court press.
Yeah, your point is that these incidences were on the fringe, and they were actually shameful. And in Weimar Germany, I mean, it led to the Nazi Party. That was the knee-jerk reaction to transgenderism and faggotry in the Weimar Republic, as well as the tremendous inflation. That led to the knee-jerk reaction of the National Socialist Party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the backlash. And so, you know, are we going to have a backlash here? You know, they're pressing this full court press, as you said, even more so than ever in history. What kind of backlash can we expect?
It's not going to be good. It's
going to be.
I mean, okay. Either there's not going to be a backlash, and we're just going to fade away into history. You know, America will gradually become a insignificant state, and maybe 1,000 years ago, or 1,000 years from now, or some centuries from now, Chinese historians will be debating, you know, what happened to the West, right? Or there's going to be a backlash. And, you know, the thing is, if you're, I do archery. And if you do archery, you know, the more you pull the bowstring backwards towards your ear, the more you do that, the faster that arrow is going to, and farther that arrow is going to shoot, right?
Yeah.
And they're pulling that bowstring way back. And so, you know, the bow could just break, or it's going to shoot, and it's going to shoot a long way. There's a lot of energy there. They've really pushed this, really destabilized society. And, you know, I don't know, we're going to see very shortly, how things are going to play out, because, to borrow one of the, favorite terms of our, of the left or whatever you want to say, what's going on now is just not sustainable.
And conservatives are not helping. I mean, they're trying to decimate the energy in this backlash, you know, by Abbott saying, well, we'll own the libs by, you know, shipping these immigrants into the Northeast, or by DeSantis saying, no trannyism taught in schools before fourth grade. They're just delaying the inevitable. And like I mentioned last night on the show with, Peter Serafine, the conservative movement pushes us into a corner, and they give us scraps. They give us scraps. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful, or people are grateful for those scraps that they give us just to sustain ourselves. But it's not going to delay, you know, it's not going to put off the inevitable backlash that is coming.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I have lately not been doing the whole break stuff on this show, but we are going to at least go off to this first break. We'll see what happens on other breaks. So we'll be right back.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, it
another chance it takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now two-thirds of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Asian man, they've given you a number, and they've taken away your name.
And we are back. All right, so let us shift gears. What's next on our agenda?
Well, even though mainstream political conservatives are letting us down, the rank and file American patriots who love this country, who loved the former republic, they're pushing back and they're using the Constitution. And you have a lot of state legislatures and their state constitutions enacting laws against trannyism, COVID measures, and the like. And even immigration, and they're pushing back against the feds. This has caused another backlash from the Jewish-dominated elite to abolish the Constitution, because these elites recognize that these state legislatures are using the Constitution to enact laws that are against their agendas. This from the Daily Stormer, stormer-daily.rw. Ivy League Jews call for the abolishing of the U.S. Constitution, according to a New York Times op-ed. Isn't this interesting, Patrick? I mean, when Trump won in 2016 in the Electoral College, they immediately called for the abolishing of the Electoral College. And now that American patriots are standing on the Constitution, to try to protect their rights from this regime, they're calling for the abolishment of the Constitution itself. That's fascinating. And they're no longer, it's no holds barred. I mean, they're in your face with this. So let me quote from this article and then I'll get your, reply. To the Stormer article, we always knew it would come to this. That's a very common phrase these days. We're seeing it all over as Democrats under Joe Biden go buck wild with Jewishness in the Jewish media, academia, and health establishment to push child trannies and forced vaccination. Just so, we always knew that the Jews would eventually call to simply abolish the U.S. Constitution so that they can have their way with us without anything in between, which is what two law professors called for in the New York Times last week. Harvard law professor Ryan D. Dorfler and Yale's law professor Samuel Moyon. They said that the Constitution is famously undemocratic, quote unquote, and therefore it needs to be overthrown and replaced with feminist and racial liberation ideology and global warming mumbo jumbo. So that from the Stormer. And then they, you know, the article goes down and quotes these two professors from Yale and Harvard. So we know that Yale and Harvard are Jewish dominated. It's openly admitted in the book called The Chosen Getting In. If you read that book, The Chosen Getting In, where Jews openly admit to controlling the upper echelons of academia, specifically
The Chosen Getting In. The book, or there's an article by Brooks, David Brooks, that
yeah,
written a book, well, and then yeah, okay.
Well, they're openly admitting to controlling these two universities, where almost all of our federal judges come from, and almost all but one of our SCOTUS judges are from one of these two universities, Yale and Harvard. So it doesn't matter whether they claim to be Catholic or Protestant or atheist. They have been bottlenecked through these two universities, Yale and Harvard, who the Jews claim that they control. And so it's two professors from these universities are calling for the absolute abolishment of the U.S. Constitution so that American patriots cannot stand on this document to preserve their rights as Americans.
Yeah. So until recently, all of the members of the Supreme Court were either from Harvard or Yale Law School. Amy Comey Island Baby is from Notre Dame. So she's an exception. Shaniqua Jackson, the most recent one, I don't know where she's from. She could easily be affirmative action from one of those two schools, or maybe she's just from the hood. I don't know. But I did, and this is how I came to the attention of David Duke, actually by way of Kevin McDonald, but I'd sent Kevin McDonald a research paper on Elena Kagan when she was the head of Harvard Law School, and she was being criticized for her white supremacy in appointing so many white professors to her faculty. And of course, I found the names of the people that she had. It wasn't easy back then. It was pretty hard. But I got the names of the people she appointed, and then I went through one by one. And out of the 32 people or so that she appointed, I think 17 were Jews. Two were Israelis. And then out of the remaining 15, at least two were married to Jews.
The truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite really works. Kate. Great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
out of the 32 people or so that she appointed, I think 17 were Jews, two were Israelis. And then out of the remaining 15, at least two were married to Jews. And so that's your white supremacy right there. And
white.
Yeah, it's a very Jewish milieu at these schools. And but, you know, getting to this thesis, I mean, we've had already in bits and pieces, they've been calling the Constitution white supremacy, right? So free speech, that's white supremacy. Second Amendment, that's white supremacy.
If I may interject, the Constitution was designed by slave-owning founding fathers who were white nationalists, right?
That's right. Well, I mean, they were nationalists in a white country, and, you know, nationalists design a society for their people, and their people were white. So, you know, that's if you had, well, Japanese nationalists of the Meiji Restoration, they were concerned about their Japanese people. So there you go.
These founding fathers were also in favor of repatriating the slaves back to Iberia.
Back to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to Dr. Duke just a few hours ago. And, you know, he said the original sin of America was slavery. And, you know, I agreed. And, you know, it's like, and when you look at it, I mean, who's really bearing the cost of it? I mean, who's bearing the brunt of it? This is white people. If you compare the, you know, not that slavery was a bed of roses for anybody, but the conditions of slaves in the United States was a lot better than the conditions of slaves, not just slaves around the world, because I mean the American slaves were having families and children and they were reproducing, but it was a lot better than most agricultural workers, whether they're serfs of the same era, whether they were just peasants, like, you know, in China. Other people were really struggling to survive, and slaves, I'm not saying it was a good situation, but, you know, having had slavery was just massively damaging and permanently damaging to America, maybe even fatal. Maybe, you know, if our republic and our society doesn't survive, obviously the Jews, it will be because Jews came here and looted and gave away everything, to just random foreigners. But also they weaponized the blacks against us. And, you know, had we not had slavery, had we picked our own cotton or just grew food instead of other things, I mean, if we'd done it differently without slave labor, it would be certainly different and almost certainly better. And I'm not trying to be mean to blacks, but that's, you know.
Just to pinpoint the argument of these two Yale and Harvard professors, you know, they're saying that since America was founded on white supremacy and the founding fathers, you know, did not recognize blacks as, you know, slaves as being able to vote or even women or non-land holding white men. You know, the criteria to vote early on in America was very narrowed down. And so they're making the case that, well, America is a white supremacist country. Therefore, the Constitution is white supremacist. Therefore, it needs to be abolished. That's their, you know, that's their case that they're making. Yep.
Well, and I tell you what, you could, you know, a lot better than I do. But in the Old Testament, isn't there some chapters and verses about, you know, regulating relations with slaves? Are they going to throw out the Old Testament? Or are they going to throw out the Hebrew Bible?
Old Testament and New Testament. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul states that if you're a slave, you should serve your master.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Christian, as if you're serving Christ. In the book of Philemon, in the New Testament, Philemon was a slave-owning Christian. And one of his slaves named Onesimus. Onesimus escaped. He was a runaway slave. And Onesimus encountered the Apostle Paul and converted to Christianity. And so the entire book, the letter to Philemon, was a letter basically Paul writing to Philemon saying, hey, I have your escaped slave. He's a Christian now. You should accept him back without penalty. Not only because he is a slave, he is a Christian, but because he is of your own flesh, he is Greek. So Onesimus, the slave runaway, and Philemon, whom the letter is addressed to in the New Testament, were both Greeks. And so Paul is making an ethnic argument that not only is he Christian, but he is of your flesh, and you should accept him without penalty and do not punish him. Because he's seen the error of his ways. It would be so much easier for Paul to just say, well, there's no slave or Greek and slavery is abolished. You know, you should free this man. But no, Paul encourages the runaway slave to come back. So my point being that, you know, you were saying it's strictly Old Testament, but it's New Testament
as
well.
I actually wasn't saying it was strictly Old Testament. I was only raising the Old Testament because these Jews wouldn't care about abolishing the New Testament, right?
Right.
They wouldn't care about that. But the Old Testament, one would think that Jews would be hesitant to reject. And
they have the Talmud, the Talmud perverts the Old Testament. It's a perverted lens in which they view the Old Testament. And they view slavery as being a goyim thing, that you're allowed to have slaves as long as they're non-Jewish and you can treat them however you want. That's a perversion of the Talmud.
So the thing is, slavery wasn't invented by or introduced by the Constitution, nor was it introduced by the Old Testament. You know, slavery has been around, and it has been an institution throughout history. And so whether you're talking about the Old Testament, the Constitution, Hammurabi's law, Roman law, it's an institution. It's been an important institution, not quite as much in our lifetime, but it's been an important institution throughout history. And obviously, basic laws are going to regulate that institution.
So, well, and real quick, it was abolished by European peoples. Slavery was abolished by European peoples.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back. There are Chinese characters for slavery. Obviously, they had slavery. I mean, you've had slavery. I think in any society that is capable of slavery, that you have it. You know, I know I got some flack once through email when I said I don't think Australian Aborigines had slavery, because I think, you know, Australian Aborigines weren't even Neolithic. They were Mesolithic. And you know, I've been to the outback, and I don't think the Australian Aborigines had the capacity to stop somebody from waking up in the middle of the night and walking off on their own. And, you know, an Australian Aborigine walking off into the outback by themselves is going to survive. Whereas in what we might call civilization, even if you're talking 2,000 years ago, the idea of a Roman slave or a slave in Judea or whatever being able to just walk off, no, they're going to get returned, they're going to get caught. There are chains were invented that have a lot more to sneak, that have to sneak past a lot more than just a kangaroo or a dingo. So that was my point about that. But wherever slavery, you can have slavery, you have had either slavery or something more or less equivalent.
But, I mean, coming back to the original point, these Harvard and Yale professors stating that the Constitution is illegitimate simply because the founding fathers owned slaves or advocated slavery in some form. I mean, that, you know, that doesn't fly. And, you know, the Christian response was, you know, Europeans, abolished slavery in total and gave black people affirmative action for these, however many decades, six decades. And so, I mean, through their destructive altruism, white people have demonstrated that they, that they're not racist and they're not biased. And so this call to abolish the Constitution is completely illegitimate, and it's only a way of taking away our rights so that the Jewish dominated elite can have their way with us.
Yeah.
I think that's the main point.
Yeah. That's the point. So everything is white supremacy. This is no surprise. I had actually something really smart to say about it, but I forgot. Maybe one of these days I'll remember. That's the thing about doing these shows. Sometimes you have a good idea, but yeah, I mean, slavery, wasn't created by the Constitution. It had been around, since time immemorial, and, it's simply an institution among many other institutions that were regulated. But, you know, I've heard that, because of the way the institution of marriage was, say 200 years ago, where, you know, women didn't have their own independent rights. They couldn't inherit property or whatever, you know, things like that, that all sex within marriage was rape. And therefore, like, specifically Thomas Jefferson, but everybody else, everybody was rapist. everybody was a rapist. And so, you know, if you're going to all of a sudden, retroactively apply this kind of radical and, irrational morality, and you're going to retroactively apply it to past generations, then you can just say everything's illegitimate. Nothing's legitimate.
And well, I would bring up the age of consent in Alabama up until the 70s was like 14. That was not for the purpose of 14-year-old girls or boys, specifically girls. That was not for the purpose of these 14-year-olds going out and taking infinity penis. It was for the purpose of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a teenage couple that made a mistake, you know, you could allow them to get married at a young age in their teenage years. That was the purpose of age of consent being so low as 14 in southern states like Alabama.
Well, and I could go up and get my, maybe I'll do it. My 1972 World Almanac and Book of Facts. And I remember, looking at that, and, there was a chart that had the, age of marriage, legal marriage. And there was two columns. Well, there are four columns. There was one set of two columns for, you know, there's boys and girls or men and women. But then there was also, with parental permission and without parental permission. And what sticks out with me, and I'm about to go confirm it, is that in New Hampshire, not hardly a southern state, but in New Hampshire, the age of legal marriage for, girls, if you had your parents' permission, you know, shotgun wedding or whatever, was 13. For boys, it was 14. I'm just going to go confirm it. But, got my handy dandy World Almanac right out here. And
that was in a Christian dominated culture where, you know, you're not saying that 13 and 14 year olds can just go out and have illicit sex. If they made a mistake and had sex and there was a pregnancy or whatever, they could get married and rectify that.
Right. Okay. So here we are. Yeah, I got it out. Yeah. And so, yeah, New Hampshire, 14 for men with consent of the parents, 14 for men, 13 for women. Alabama, 17 for men, 14 for women, just like you said. South Carolina, 16 for men, 14 for women. Texas, same. Utah, the same. Virgin Islands, the same. It's on the chart. And Missouri, 15 for both.
And so it would never have entered into their minds, the Christian dominated culture where these legislations were made, you know, were enacted. It would never have entered into their minds where like two 14-year-old boys, you know, would enter into a sexual engagement and marriage. That just was not a thing. They couldn't even conceive that or any kind of gender-based thing. It was strictly for the purpose of teenagers had sex, they made a mistake, they get married, they rectify that, the baby has a name.
Right. Here, listen to this. Okay, this is from page 90 of the 1972 World Almanac and Book of Facts. And this was published for the Washington Daily News, which I guess that was before they went bankrupt. Anyway, the source is Council on Marriage Relations. Marriageable age, this is what it says, marriageable age by states for both males and females with and without consent of parents or guardians. But in most states, the court has authority in an emergency to marry young couples below the ordinary age of consent where due regard for their morals and welfare so requires. So, you know, the courts, even without the consent of the parents, if the courts had the ability to allow for the marriage of underage teenagers with regards to, you know, moral requirements.
And that's the thing. There was a Christian morality there. I mean, it was in the context of you had sex with a girl and now you have to marry her. You know, this was not in the context of the modern age where, you know, you think of the age of consent being low. It's not just saying you can go out and pick like infinity cocks and just, you know, whatever, like the females do now. it was in the context of male and female marriage. So there was no scenario in these people's minds where a female would just go out and have multiple partners. And that was the basis of the age of consent. It was all based on marriage.
Right. So the page 91 of this same book, it has grounds for divorce, you know, in various states. And,
interesting.
Yeah. Now, California and Iowa look like an exception. I guess California, well, I'm not sure. I don't know if this is it because they already had no-fault divorce or what. But basically all the states, adultery, almost all the states, cruelty, almost all the states, desertion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I guess California, well, I'm not sure. I don't know if this is it because they already had no-fault divorce or what. But basically all the states, adultery, almost all the states, cruelty, almost all the states, desertion. And then some states had other things, drug addiction. What is this? Fraudulent contract, whatever that is. But anyway, I just thought this was kind of interesting, so I'm bringing it up.
Desertion. I mean, after the civil rights movement, you had a tremendous number of single mothers in the black community because the fathers simply deserted the pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a shaker and mover for why that law was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Along with the welfare state. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was going to say we've only got about two or three minutes left. I was just wondering if there's another, if you want to finish on this, or do you have another item to bring up?
The only thing we got is climate police. So we have ATF police, we have IRS police, we have the FBI. According to Breitbart article, we have the Great Reset, the French government will recruit 3,000 green police over climate change. So you're going to have people policing the populace in France that are not adhering to climate change legislature or pushed agenda, whatever. So I know you're a big advocate of man-made climate change. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this before we end the show.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think that man-made climate change and man-made environmental change is completely happening, and it's inevitable because we've got the massive population. That's what's underwriting it. And if we lived in a world where we didn't have hoax after hoax after hoax, and most of these hoaxes are designed at attacking white people, maybe I would be an activist for doing something about this. But who can be bothered? So I can't get excited about this climate stuff. So, you know, and nobody knows what's going to happen, really. There is a knee-jerk reaction when you get when you're getting beaten over the head about something to just say, oh, that problem doesn't exist. No, it exists. But
their handling of the situation is what is nefarious.
Mm. It is. It is nefarious. And, you know, that's the thing. And so, like, you look at the Green New Deal resolution. It wasn't a legislation, but resolution introduced to Congress a couple years ago by AOC. And, you know, it's got all this language in it about equity and vulnerable communities and the, you know, the policy should be led by and for the benefit of these marginalized and vulnerable communities. There's all this anti-white stuff written into it. And if you really thought this was an existential threat in the near term, then you would want to be pragmatic. You wouldn't put all this weird alternate agenda in there. But they did, and that's why these people, A, they don't know what they're talking about, and B, they don't really care. But we'll have to, if we want to talk more about it, we'll have to do it on another show.
Well, thanks, Patrick, for having me on. Please stay classy, my friend.
I try, but it's a struggle. But I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.